I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, for Iranian journalist Masih Alinejad, scoring an interview with President Obama is about more than career advancement. In fact, getting the interview might cost her a jail sentence. We'll find out why and why she's pursuing it anyway in just a few minutes. But first, another story about the cost of speaking up. We found it in the pages of the Washington Post magazine, where we look just about every week to find interesting stories about the way we live now and sometimes the way we used to live. Now, if I say the name J. Edgar Hoover, I'm guessing that conjures up some wildly different reactions. Some will think revered crime fighter. Others may think vindictive, power-hungry, and paranoid. Well, this week there's a story about a young boy who was exposed to both sides of Hoover, all because of an innocent letter, and that provoked some unexpected results. Author and professor Edward Schiappa wrote that letter and lived to tell and write about it, and he joins us from St. Paul to tell us what happened next. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
So take us back to that day. You were 12. Your dad got what you thought would be a dream job as an FBI agent in Kansas. But then you realized your dad was working all the time. So you got the idea to write a letter to your dad's boss, FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover. What put that thought into your head?
Boredom. He took me to the office and, you know, I thought it was going to be exciting to be down there at Manhattan, Kansas FBI headquarters, but it turns out it's only a couple of desks. And so I was sitting at the other desk and I thought, well, maybe I'll write a letter. And the idea was, well, why am I here? I guess because they need another agent. My dad's having to work too hard. You know, it's an official kind of place, so I was feeling official and the letter just came right out. It was one of my first efforts.
And a fine effort it was. There were some colorful details, which I think we should share. And I'm not sure whether you can tell me whether you were embellishing or not. But here, I'm going to quote. Taking a quick look around, I see how much they need at least one more man. Cigarette butts, overflowing ashtrays, worn out phone books and typewriters, having to work either Saturday or Sunday or both every weekend. This is a big place with crime all around. I ask you, I beg you to send someone. So, were we taking a little creative license there, or was that really the way it was?
This is a substantial amount of hyperbole. You know, I think maybe there was a cigarette butt, and I sort of started imagining beyond that. It turns out, by the way, I didn't know this, of course, at the time, that Hoover actually had a thing about clean ashtrays.
Oh, dear.
And so I managed to push a button there without really knowing that I was doing that. But no, it was hyperbole.
Well,
I have to admit that in hindsight.
It turns out you pushed more than a button about ashtrays, evidently.
Yes.
What happened? What was the consequence? It turns out that he did get this letter, or at least somebody high up in the chain got the letter.
He received the letter probably within hours of it arriving in FBI headquarters. Because I've got the documents and literally their date stamped when they arrived at the director's office. And this was very characteristic of Hoover. He was very, very much a micromanager. And the directives flew back and forth and literally a who's who of FBI administration was involved in this at one point or another in terms of responding to it and evaluating. The special agent in charge of the area that we were in was instructed to do a detailed report on the custodial service and the make and model of the typewriters. They responded with the kind of thoroughness you want to have the FBI doing, just not on a matter of this scope.
You wrote, P.S., my dad did not know about this letter, but did they believe you? And what was the consequence? As it happens, there were repercussions beyond just the custodial service, I take it.
Yes, somebody didn't believe that. There is a person who will remain nameless who supposedly sort of put the idea in Hoover's head that that my dad had put me up to this. And, of course, nothing could be farther from the truth. He would have absolutely clobbered me if he had known I was writing it at the time. But what happened was, unbeknownst to me at this time, a promotion was in the works to transfer my dad from Manhattan, Kansas to FBI headquarters in Washington, D.C. He had been a journalist. They very much wanted his writing experience and skills there for various FBI publications. A few weeks after I wrote this letter, there was a memo that came across because the director had to approve all transfers to headquarters that said, we really need another person in the publications unit. We have the perfect agent. He has the perfect experience. He has outstanding reviews for the 5 years he's been an FBI agent. We think he's the right man for the job. And in the margin, which is where Hoover and Tolson, his assistant, would react to things, appear the words, "We don't want this agent here," with a little T, which indicates that it was Clyde Tolson who wrote it. Apparently, they felt strongly enough about either my dad's culpability, or maybe they didn't want the troublemaking 12-year-old in D.C. I don't know. But in either case, his promotion was quashed, and my dad remained in Manhattan, Kansas for a little over 5 more years. And Hoover died in May of 1972, and literally within weeks, my father was transferred to headquarters.
Well, as I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, very few people are neutral about J. Edgar Hoover. So I'm wondering, what do you think this story says, or what do you think this story adds to our understanding of him?
That's a good question. I think actually that it does demonstrate both the good and the bad. And on one hand, the attention to detail here was pretty astounding, given that they're talking about, you know, the make of the typewriter and the custodial service and analyzing, you know, my dad's overtime records. And I mean, the thoroughness here is, like I said before, the kind of thoroughness you want to see the FBI engaging in. And so the initial response to all of this is rather impressive. They took a 12-year-old's claims seriously enough to investigate them. On the other hand, the sort of, I don't think of any other word other than vindictiveness displayed by saying, "We don't want this agent here," despite him having a sterling record at that point, just sterling, shows to me that there's a mean streak here that I wish was not part of the Hoover legacy.
Professor Ed Chiappa holds the Frenzel Chair of Liberal Arts at the University of Minnesota. He wrote a story about his childhood letter to J. Edgar Hoover in this week's Washington Post magazine. And if you want to read his story and see the letter in its entirety, you can visit the new NPR.org, go to Programs, and click on Tell Me More. Professor Chiappa, thank you.
Thank you.